Grace and peace from the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We meditate on his word today from that first scripture lesson, number 6, 22 to 27. You heard it before. We pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dearly beloved of God. Have you ever had the euphoria, the ecstasy, the awesome experience of looking at your airline ticket and seeing that you have been awarded pre-check? If you don't know what that is, you got to fly more, because it means that you are going to be able to skip the lines. You're going to just pass right through there. You don't have to take off your belt and shoes and security, maybe not even your computer out of the case. You're just, and, you know, they debate whether it's worth paying for it. But I'm telling you, when it's free, you just feel so special, don't you? Or do you feel bad for your fellow passengers, that they're over in that line moving like snails and you're just sailing through the pre-check line? Or do you feel like that boy in fifth grade on a bus with his father in a rainstorm in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, the fly-in, and out of the corner of his eye, his father sees his son is motioning, waving at the people outside. What are you doing? They're out there in the rain and we're in here. Whose son are you? Fathers have the responsibility, especially to teach the children to be kind and merciful. And we can't learn it better than we do from our Heavenly Father here in Numbers chapter 6. Honestly, I must be a slow learner, because this is the third time over the years I've been privileged to preach on these verses. And every time I go back to the context, it surprises me what is in Numbers chapter 6 before we get to this blessing. If you can answer that, we'll give you an A+ and buy you dinner. Numbers chapter 6 is about the Nazirite law. And you know one Nazirite very famous. His name was Samson. Don't ever cut your hair. Remember that? Delilah tricked him. But he was also never supposed to drink or taste anything that came from the grapevine, not even grape skins. But there's something in Numbers chapter 6, the law of the Nazirite, these separated ones, that I find really helpful. It was a matter of life and death if they broke their Nazirite vows. But the problem was, sometimes they could become unclean by being in the presence of a dead body. Without ambulances and undertakers and all what we sanitize death today, families took care of it back then, and not so long ago in America either. So not to be somehow made unclean in the presence of a... They had to build into Moses' law an escape, a remedy for when the Nazirite became unclean somehow. All his days of separation didn't count. He had to start over, life and death issue. And after that, the law that they could not fulfill, comes the blessing. And there's no if, there's no maybe, there's no anything that you have to do. And these are the rebellious Israelites at Mount Sinai. They've already worshipped the golden calf. God almost already destroyed them. Moses prayed. God listened. His presence will go with them. And this is just before they leave Mount Sinai, that the Lord gives us this blessing that you have been hearing as God's people 3,500 years. Think about it. To put the name of God on the people, to be blessed by the name. And it answers three basic problems that we have to this day in our humanity. Let me just list those for you here, and then we'll go through them point by point. We try to trust chance and government and self to secure our future. Problem one. Problem two, we keep looking in all the wrong places and in all the wrong faces for love. Problem three, we magnify our problems instead of magnifying the Lord. One of the things that is awesome about the Word of God is the church father said this. I think it was Augustine that said that the New Testament lies hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. They knew the triune God in the Old Testament. The Lord is said three times here. The holy, holy, holy from Isaiah 6, his commissioning. They knew Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus gets explicit in the Great Commission of Matthew 28. It's all there. Same intelligence behind the Old and the New Testament over at least 1,500 years of writing, maybe 2,200 years. Awesome book of books. But answering those problems, you notice that the first Lord really fits the Father, and the second Lord really fits the Son, and the third really fits the Holy Spirit. Not three Lords, one Lord, but three persons and one God. That mystery of the Trinity, who we worship today. Let's look first at how our first problem is solved in this way that we try to trust chance, development, and evolution, or government, or self, somehow to secure our future. Notice who is speaking here when the name is put on God's people. Catch that first. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, or speak to Aaron and to his sons, and tell them to bless the Israelites with these words. So Moses is the prophet. Aaron is the priest, his older brother. His sons will be the priests in succeeding years. So this is what you're to say to Moses, to Aaron then, to bless the Israelites. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. That's called the Tetragrammaton, which means four letters, the Yod, He, Vav, He in Hebrew. We don't know exactly how they said it. Jews today will not say it. We think it was pronounced Yahweh. When Samson's parents were given the law of the Nazarite for this boy that was going to be born, they must have been saying the name. But typically today, the Jews will write the name in all, N-A-M-E, in all capitals. You'll look in the Old Testament and you'll see Lord in all capitals. And that's got this name behind it. Put this name on my people. That's ownership. That's like what happened to you in your baptism when he put his name on you and made you his own. After this, you're his responsibility. God, this is a hard time. I know, I got this. God, help me. I know, I'm watching over you. Over and over again in the Holy Scriptures, we get these assurances that the triune God is watching over us, and the name being put on God's people is a case in point. This is the Lord speaking. In a paper that was given to our pastor's conference in the year 2000 by Professor John Jeske, who's gone home to heaven now, called The Enemy at Work. I can't remember these papers. That's why I've been publishing The Preacher's Apprentice. Some of you have heard about that. So that I can get back to these great quotes. He was speaking on Job 1 through chapter 2, calling about the enemy at work, and Professor Jeske talked about the name, Yahweh. The name describes God as the God of absolute independence. He is the great I Am. You and I exist because God has given us life. God exists because He's God. His existence is absolutely independent of anyone or anything else. Similarly, His grace is not dependent on your or my reaction to it. His grace is its own reason for being. The name Lord, all capitals, Yahweh, describes the covenant God also as the God of absolute constancy and absolute reliability. God does not lie. It was in that unchanging Savior God that God's children have taken refuge over all these years. God convinces us of His goodness and makes us secure in the Father when He puts His name on us. That name is precious. It means the independent one. And grace is not dependent on us. Growing up outside the Wisconsin Synod, this is something that terrified me. If I didn't feel right, I thought I would fall out of God's grace, that I wouldn't have His forgiveness anymore. Finally, when we came into the Wisconsin Senate, pastors like this kept saying, no, 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 this is God's promise. It was given before you were around to feel anything. Look at the Lord. Quit looking at yourself. And Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Look at the blessing. After the law of the Nazarite could be broken, life and death issue, put this name on my people. The Lord bless you and keep you. No if, nothing to do. It's just like you can't make it rain. And God knows full well that many people will reject this and only use his name for swearing. Wickedness abounds around us. But for 3,500 years plus, he kept letting it rain, this beautiful blessing, upon us. We can't help the fact that we get dirty in this world because it's like walking through a barnyard. You know, it's like living in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what I'm talking about. You walk through a mucked up barnyard after rain, you're going to get dirty. How does God cleanse us? With blessings like this. Just pure grace. The rainfall that just washes you all clean and says, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. In children's lessons, I used to explain blessing as happiness from God. It's okay for kids, but some of the older members would kind of correct that and say, well, what are we supposed to do when we're not happy? You know, happiness depends on happenings. Romans 5, those first five verses that we read, talked about this joy that's there even in the times of tears. A better definition, it's more of an adult definition for blessing, is God aiming all the big guns of his grace at you. God aiming all his goodness at you. God, who sees everything, looks at his children, sees Christ on us, covering all of our sins, sees the Lord our righteousness, and says, I'm going to bless you, just like I would bless my son. And so we have Romans 8:28, that second favorite passage in the Bible. All things work together for good to them that love God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Both are good translations. But you have that wonderful assurance, in spite of everything that happens in your life, that God is blessing you and God is keeping you. He's the one who keeps you, guards you, treasures you, even though day by day and week by week we have to confess our sin. We come together to confess together, but we know we're going to hear those words of absolution, that this triune God has cleansed us of our sin and washed it all away. The Lord bless you and keep you, from our Heavenly Father. So we have this problem of trying to find our future in other places. What a terrible sin that is. And our hearts are constantly going that way. We get corrupted by chance development and all the other things that go on around us. Can't help it. But you keep coming back to our dear Father in heaven. He doesn't throw out the baby. He changes the baby's diaper. He cleanses us in the inside. Baptism doth also now save us, says the Lord. What a great blessing. What a terrible sin to look for security someplace else. And how awful it would be if the second problem got the best of us, this Hollywood hoax where you're looking for love in all the wrong places and all the wrong faces. Happens over and over again. It's part of our wandering. It's matters of the heart, and who can explain that? You know, you love someone, but how often does that turn out well? In our movies, where there's always problems, I've talked before about some of the sweet movies I love to watch, the love stories. And, you know, 95% of it is all problem, and you get maybe 3 minutes at the end where they kiss and you have some happiness. But what is it about our human condition that we've just got to have problems after problems after problems? And when we make our own problems, we call that drama, right? There's so much drama in their lives. And the Lord takes us above and beyond that, even though we wander into it constantly, with this second part of the blessing, where he says, the Lord Make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. So imagine you're really feeling terrible. And you walk into a room and there's someone there that looks at you with a loving, kind smile. And it just melts your heart. And this is why people love their pets, right? The little dog that runs up and just loves you and doesn't really care anything else that happened in your life. Cats, of course, they have staff. They don't know how to do this. But dogs, I mean, it's the way God made us that we need this. And especially when you're feeling terrible and you get that, or you're nervous or something. I remember at St. Croix years ago giving a chapel, and I'm always nervous before I preach. I walk in, all the students are gathering together for chapel. There was some young woman, I couldn't recognize her after that day. She shook my hand and gave me such a sweet and loving smile. Like, I'm happy you're here. Not because of anything in me, but because of the Lord. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians. God who made light shine out of darkness has made his light shine in our hearts that we might see the glory of God in the face of Christ. You want to know what God is like? For God's sake, read the Gospels. The one gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you've never read anything else in the Bible, please read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And see God's Son, our Savior, loving the children, scolding his disciples and saying, "Let those children come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It's not like you adults that have to have all your answers. So little children, in their simple childlike faith, you become like them, Jesus says. Not the other way around. This born-again experience that Christians in America talk about, they got it backwards. Born-again in the Bible is baptism. It's the Holy Spirit's washing of rebirth and renewal. And you can see it in little children that grow up knowing Jesus as their best and truest friend. There's a difference there. And their parents don't have to ride shotgun on them either. You can be absolutely confident. Standing here earlier in the service is my favorite part, and I've said this before, just before the prayer of the day. As a pastor, I have the privilege of constantly pouring out God's blessing on his people, and I love it. But I love that part where I say, "The Lord be with you," and I hear the answer. When I'm giving private communion and using the liturgy, I have to remind our longtime Wells members, and what are you supposed to say? Our members who were raised Catholic get this automatically. I really admire this. Because when I say, "The Lord be with you," they just say, "And also with you." It's just beautiful liturgy. There's a reason for traditions that are good, and that's one of the oldest traditions in the Christian church where, yeah, I'm blessing, but I'm being blessed too. The papers that I received to transfer to New Life before there was a congregation here came from Pastor Bodie at Grace in Prairie du Chien. And he said, "Mark, remember that the people that God gathers there are meant to bless you as much as you're meant to bless them." How true that's been over all these years since 1986. Some of you will remember when we had chairs in here and the colors were a lot different. We still had these insets for the wheelchairs. And right there was a man who was raised in the Hennepin County Orphanage, probably dropped off, I'm thinking, on a snowy day, so they gave him the last name Snow. And somebody there liked the name William, so they named him William Snow. One of the group homes called and said that we should give him a ride to church, and we did. I took William Snow through instructions in the Simplified Catechism. And if you would watch William when I would come out with the elder to give him Lord's Supper, his eyes were just pinned on me. As I'm saying the words and making the sign of the cross, William would always try with his trembling hand to trace the sign of the cross. And people would say afterwards, "Pastor, he's blessing you while you're blessing him." Isn't that what happens? Isn't that the beauty of this blessing for 3,500 plus years, you keep pouring it out and your children pick it up. You sow the seeds and God makes them grow. So I'm feeling depressed in the middle of the summer. Don't know what it was about. I just remember this little voice from the far side of the house shouting, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It was Christmas in the summertime. It just breaks through that whatever I'm whining about and says, "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." You see his mercy and his kindness in the face of Jesus Christ. Quit looking in all the other places for love. Look at him. That's where real love is, whether you're married or single. You know, we all struggle. But there's the face of Jesus Christ, and there's the kindness, and there's the third problem solved. If we can just keep our eyes and our ears tuned to this blessing. The third part, which I believe is really the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament bringing this to us, as we're blessed by the name, he says, "The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace." Look on you with favor and give you peace. What is peace? The world thinks it's the end of war, the end of trouble. They're not at peace with that. If that meant peace, then the rich people would all be happy. They're not. They're miserable. Happy people are sometimes the developmentally disabled in Jesus Cares ministry who, by their example, just don't worry about things. You teach them that God loves them. You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The rest of their life, you have this sweet, sweet soul that just loves, just cares. It's a wonderful blessing that God has given us through special needs children like that, that just love, forget the rest. God gives you peace in spite of everything going on around you. When Mary spoke her Magnificat, I had to look this up. There's a Greek word there in the New Testament that's translated magnify by the ESV. That's the English Standard Version. And it means basically let the light come on you, but magnify. She says, "Magnify the Lord with me." And I looked up the Psalm 34, which is written in Hebrew, but the Greek word for magnify in the Greek translation, the Septuagint, is the same as Mary used. I think Mary was quoting the Septuagint there. Which means the same Holy Spirit that inspired Psalm 34 1,000 years before Christ is in the heart of Mother Mary to say these wonderful words that solve one of our biggest problems as human beings. We get this backwards. We magnify our problems, make more drama, instead of magnifying the Lord. Psalm 34 says, "Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." The more we magnify the Lord and make him bigger and bigger, the smaller our problems seem. But this is so important in our Christian witness. Dear Christian friends, take this to heart. And the older you get, the harder this is. I mean, I wish it weren't true, but we seem to get more moody in a lot of ways the older we get. We don't realize the scowl on our face, you know. People will take that personally, and you didn't even think of them. Not to be pasted on smiles all the time, but take it to the Lord in prayer, and Lord, help me to magnify you so that out of a heart that's truly looking at your grace and peace, I can give that peace to others and not somehow put a barrier in front of them. I don't want to be around them. They're always too sour. Why would I want to be around people like, why would I want to be a Christian? Man told me that after a funeral in the fellowship hall. I had two bosses, Dakota farmers, when I was a teenager, and one was a Christian, the other not. The Christian treated me terrible and the non-Christian treated me great. This was his reason for why not to be a Christian. I said, that's not going to help you on Judgment Day. But the Lord Jesus warns all of us that, you know, it must needs be, he said, that offense comes. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. I'm quoting the King James. Woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. It would be better for him if he had not been born. So we got to watch out with magnifying our problems instead of magnifying the Lord. Do you remember who Luther's favorite preacher was? I think it probably came out of the time when he was in hiding in the Wartburg castle. Remember, he was under the papal ban. The emperor had condemned him. People were hunting for him to kill him with the church's blessing and the government's blessing. So he hid out for 9 months in the Wartburg castle and translated the whole New Testament into German and wrote a whole bunch of papers and commentaries. And it was a time when he was feeling really sick and he was extremely lonely. And he had this preacher that he really loved. He said it was a little bird outside his window. The little bird would sit on the branch and sing his heart out to the Creator all day long. And then when the sun went down, he would tuck his little head under his wing and fall asleep. Have you ever figured out how birds can stay on a branch asleep without falling off? But you could put that little bird on a branch over a raging rapid and get a picture of peace that's even more vivid. Because stuff happens, life goes on, everything is swirling around us, and God gives us fathers to teach us to trust in the Lord, to give us the Lord's blessing. So we learn what it means to be at peace even in times of chaos and hardship, and learn especially from our fathers the grace and mercy of God. It's an old statistic. You might not like this. Half of you won't. It's been said that children that grow up in a house where mom goes to church all the time, 25% of them grow up and always go to church. Children that grow up in a house where the father always goes to church, 75% of them grow up and always go to church. Fathers have a tremendous influence on what their children do, what they believe, and we need to keep on filling up so that we can overflow. And when we feel guilty, think of the Nazirite law that had to be broken. And think of the Lord coming to Moses and telling him to tell Aaron, "You put my name on my people. No if, no and, no maybe. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace." And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.